Now, I wanted to specifically talk about hindrances to prayer. So if you'd open your Bibles to Psalm 66:18, I'm going to just provide you the six hindrances to prayer that I personally, in my studies, kind of summarize the major ones for me. There are definitely others, and there are many, many, many other passages that speak to hindrances, to problems in prayer, and you know that are we can deal with. But these are relevant to every one of us, whether we be young or old. So Psalm 66:18 makes this statement. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. It is a tremendous reminder that when we go to prayer, we need to make sure we take a good hard look at our own life and confess our sins. There is a need to come before the throne, not as with dirty hands. And when you come Sunday and listen to the Sunday morning message, you'll see how God was so upset with the people during Malachi's day for worshiping without sincerity, with a hypocrisy in their worship. And I wonder, you know, I grew up saying a prayer at every meal. How many of you were in a situation like that where, and in my case, it was a memorized prayer. You know, that's the way we did it at the home I grew up in. We had the same prayer we prayed over and over again. Now I look back on that, and I understand the intent, and I'm glad that we at least had a reminder to me as a child that there is a God, and my parents thought it was important enough to pray to Him, and I'm thrilled for that concept. But I remember how we would rifle through that, just to have said it and move on. I see in different settings where large groups will sing a prayer or do a prayer and do the same thing over and over and over again habitually. And it burdens me every time I hear that, because I recognize in my own life it surely was allowing me to go to what I thought I was going to the Lord, and it had no concern at all where my heart was. And I look at a verse like this and I'm reminded one of the first things I've got to be mindful of is, am I right with God before I come? Then if I move to the New Testament and go to Matthew chapter 21, verse 22, you see another comment that whatever you ask in prayer, you receive if you have faith. That's an interesting way of saying it. The important truth there is what? What's the emphasis? Faith. You know, there is a need for us to believe that our God is really there, and not, again, to do it with an insincerity. Hypocrisy, once again. God doesn't like hypocrisy. We need to, and that comes from this fact that we live in a material world and we're worshiping a spirit, God who is a spirit. God is a spirit, and we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And it's easy for us to get into mechanics and not really connect as if it's real. But it is real. And we need to go before Him believing. An important, important truth. When you go over to the book of James, there's two different passages that stood out in my own Bible study. And I condensed this from about 30 different verses on the hindrances to prayer that I found in another Bible study. It said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and it will be given him. And it goes on to say, but let him ask in faith, having no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In some respects, this is similar to the other verse. What is it challenging us to do? Ask for wisdom and faith and really, really trust your God. It's an interesting challenge. It says we have to have confidence in our prayer. We can't be wavering whether I think God will answer this or not. Now, I am mindful of the fact that in the passage in Luke where they were told that they could do anything by faith, you know, they were supposed to particularly forgive anybody that came back to them no matter how many times they repeated the same thing and asked for forgiveness. And what were the disciples' response to that? Increase our faith. Okay, I'm reminded by that, that it's not necessarily easy to stay really trusting. You understand? Can you relate to what I'm saying on that one? You can kind of go in automatic pilot and wonder whether God even hears. How many of you can honestly say that you know of very specific times where you wondered if God was listening? Okay, I mean, in those times, this verse really is piercing in my own heart. I need to do this with confidence. You know, it is not confidence in that he will do what I'm going to do, but it is confidence in who he is. It is a confidence in that he will do what he ought to do. Now, I'll explain why I say that, but that's my application of this verse. The thing that I really cannot waver on is my confidence in the omniscience, the omnipotence. Omniscience is all wisdom. Omnipotence is all power of our God to accomplish whatever he thinks is right. When we look at James, just a couple more verses over, or chapters over, James chapter 4, it says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, am I reading wrong verse? I think I am. I'm reading one verse too far. You asked and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. Well, here's an important one to be asking. You ask yourself, why am I asking God for this in the first place? And if it is motivated selfishly for your own pleasure, we really need to remind ourselves that we've been bought with a price and we're not our own. And we are to be seeking his will, not ours. And when we seek simply our pleasure, we are very, very dangerous grounds. Not that God doesn't bless us with many, many pleasures. He does. But we need to be careful that our drive is his will, not ours. And in some situations, that can be extremely difficult. His will for our lives is not necessarily an easy path. It can be really a painful journey. One of the ones that in a culture where marital problems are so serious, look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them, referring to your wives, with understanding, giving honor to your wife, as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What is the primary teaching in this is husbands, dwell with your wives. In other words, stay with them in a state of understanding. One of the reasons why I believe one of the key roles for a husband or responsibilities for a husband is specifically to be a learner of your wife. And I'm an individual who's been married. I'm coming up in 41 years in just a few days here. 41 years, and I'm telling you, I am still learning about Pam. She thinks about things differently than I do. And you would think by now I would have figured it out. But I don't. It is so perplexing to me how she can draw the conclusion she draws. But I've also recognized that many, many times it's a great blessing that we're able to interact like that, because with the further insight, I am able to get more in line. But what is the challenge in this here? I'll tell you what, if you're having marital problems, you better take a serious look at that, because it has serious implications for your prayer life. Now, can you have an effective prayer life in a bad marriage? Absolutely. As long as you're doing everything that's possible to live right with them and right before the Lord. But you have a responsibility to do your part. Now, the last one is in 1 John chapter 5. This is so critical. This is the one where... How many of you ever prayed for something over years? Okay, I have a couple of those that I'm praying for, and it's been years now. You know what? I go to this on those, and I ask. I have to come back, and I ask myself, is my prayer right? Because he could do whatever he wants instantly. He hasn't chosen to. One of the possibilities in that is that I'm not asking in accordance with his will, which is exactly what it says. However, you have to temper that with the teaching that I didn't mark it down here, but in Matthew, about how we have to keep coming back. And he rewards those that are persistent. And boy, that's a tension. You know, is the answer to prayer not, is because I haven't prayed in accordance with his will, or is it because I haven't been persistent? You have to sort that out on your own. I have no way of really resolving that. Yes? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, and you know, in that, it's fascinating. When they finally got the good news, you could tell in that case, Abraham was able to adjust to it and say, that's an answer to prayer. He was excited about it. But by then, it appears that Sarah was losing a little faith in the thought, and she starts to laugh and gets rebuked for that. Just a reminder to us, this persistence is an important issue. But the teaching here, and I'll read it right now, it's in 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we have asked of him. Now, you need to go and put that back into the proper context. It's not going to be his will for us if it is selfish. So if you... start praying for a brand new house tonight, you may not get a new house. Okay, but in other situations, it may be exactly what the Lord wants you to pray for. And you'll sense that. I can give personal testimony from the standpoint that when I'm in his will, I can sense it. That's the only reason why you'd keep praying for something over years. You just have the sense, no, this has got to be right. This lines up. And I'm going to keep praying. I'm not quitting on this one. However, I also have had other situations where I have prayed and finally come to the conclusion, you know what, I need to pray for the other side of this. This is not, I'm praying the wrong way, and I have equal peace on that. Now, I understand that you would wish I would sit up here and give just this cookie cutter stuff. Life isn't that way. Our God is very interactive with us. But these truths are just that, truths. They're God's truths. And we can hold on to them. They're beautiful. And they're very helpful. And one should examine. If you're not having answers to your prayers like you would expect, you might want to look at these and see if any of these are the reason. And make appropriate adjustments. Now, I've got 2 minutes before we've already passed out the prayer request. So we'll break up into groups and tonight and pray. But let me ask for anyone that can give a testimony of an answered prayer. Wait, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you a mic because I can see people straining to hear you instantly.
I have a girlfriend who is living with another friend who is living in sin, and we were both praying that she would move out, and God just answered that prayer and got her another place to live.
Amen. Yes.
We've been praying that Jeff would get help, and now he's in a place where,
amen,
where he can, if God,
right,
would work
wasn't
that
exactly
out.
Wasn't exactly the place you were expecting, but it is still where God chose to do it. Anyone else?
Over the last 8 years of being, or 9 years of being saved, I've wanted to be free from legalism in my Bible studies. And over the last years, I've experienced, answer that prayer.
Amen. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to give you two real quick ones. Last night, I prayed that the business that my son runs would have some business. It needed some business. And the very next day, in comes a phone call. No, you just say, praise God. I also was out driving today, and Dave, you could give the same testimony. We didn't know this before we were sharing earlier, but I was out driving on the roads this afternoon, and I exited off of 694 onto what was Silver Lake Road. Well, the plows had been by. The 694 was great. Even the ramp was good, except for this part where the plow apparently left this thing going across the ramp. It was about a foot high, and I hit it. It felt like it was frozen. My car goes bouncing over this thing, and I said a prayer immediately. I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me. I mean, it seems like it was 10 minutes long. It was probably 10 seconds. Because my car started to go every which way, and all I could see is this light pole, and my door of my driver's side appeared to be, you know, we were going to meet right there. And I was, you know, you just sensed, you know, and I may not be getting out of this one. And then in a second, my tires caught, came back in the driveway. And the only problem I had then is my steering wheel was shaking so much, not from the tires, from my hands. It was quite funny because I was trying to figure out if the front end had been damaged, but I couldn't tell because my arms were shaking too much as I tried to comprehend how close I was to just something that would have been so phenomenally serious. So I stand before you praising the Lord for his protective care. Why don't we just break into smaller groups and pray? And then when you're done as a group, you could be dismissed.